Psalm 119, beginning at verse 17. This is a word that's been breathed out of God's own mouth. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. That's as far as we'll read tonight in this portion of God's holy word. May his blessing be with it. Friends, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians calls Christ the indescribable gift. And in John chapter 1, Jesus is called the Word. So that in one sense, then, the greatest gift that has ever been given is the Word. The Word of God. And that's true when we think of Jesus, who is the Word, and when we think of the Bible, which is the Word. Jesus and the Word, the Bible, cannot be separated. You can't have Jesus without the Word. Because salvation is trusting in Christ as he is revealed in Scripture. And, on the other hand, you don't really have the Bible, do you, if you don't have Jesus? The Pharisees had the Bible, but without Jesus, all they had was legal condemnation. Jesus and the Word go together. They are both the Word. You can't have the Word, the Bible, without Jesus. You can't have Jesus without the Word. Jesus and the Bible are God's great gift. The gift of his Word to mankind. Have you ever received a gift that you didn't think you really needed? Maybe you knew you didn't need it. Maybe you just thought you didn't need it. Later on, you realize you did now. Of course, you parents, you dads have never received a gift like that from any of your children. They know you, and they give you gifts that you need, and you thank them heartily for every gift that they give you. That's true, I know. You know, sometimes people give us a gift, and we say thank you because of the spirit in giving, but we wonder, if I really need this thing that they've given me. Sometimes I think we may have that sense, or people may have that sense with the Word of God, even. The great gift that God has given us. And you run into people who say, well, I don't really need the Word. Now, sometimes there are even professing Christians who say, well, I have a relationship with Jesus, but I don't need the Bible. I don't need the Word. That's a gift that I don't really need. Well, tonight from Psalm 119, and boys and girls, this is the section in Psalm 119 that's called Gimel. Gimel. Aleph, Bet, Gimel. It's the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet. All the verses 17 through 24 begin with the Hebrew letter Gimel in the original. But tonight from this section in Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24, I want to propose to you 8 reasons why I need the Word of God. 8 reasons why I need the Word of God. And we see them right there in these verses. Look at verse 17. Do good to your servant and I will live. I will obey your word. What's the first reason that I need the gift of the Word of God? Well, it's because that apart from the life-giving word, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead in sin, the Bible tells me, by nature a child of wrath. And it is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings true, abundant, and eternal life. Do good to your servant, and I will, what? Live. That's why I need the Bible, because I want to live. I want to live. I want real life now, and I want to live a life that's blessed forever and ever. Without Christ, the Word of God, I have nothing. Nothing. And so in verse 17, we see the prayer, deal bountifully with your servant. He prays that God would deal bountifully with him because he's sorely aware of his poverty. He's poor. We need such bounty because of our desperate poverty. We need to realize this. Spiritually, whatever you want to call it, death, poverty. That's where we need to begin. That's why the Beatitudes begin, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who realize that apart from the life-giving word of God in Jesus Christ, we are nothing, we have nothing, we're dead. We don't just need a little here, some help there. We need bountiful grace. And that's what God provides. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds, Paul says in Romans. Behold what love the Father has lavished upon us. He prays here that he would be dealt with bountifully, that he would be surrounded and overwhelmed with the gifts and the grace of God. And that's just what God does with his children, those who come to him in Christ. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us. It's the love that brings new life and new obedience. Glad and grateful obedience. Look at what verse 17 says. I will live and I will obey your word. That is life in the Bible. To be brought to a place where we are more and more able to obey God. That's life. And that's the evidence of life. God gives us life to do what we were created to do, to serve him. Deal bountifully with your servant. We are servants. After everything, unprofitable servants, Jesus tells us. But I'd rather be a servant. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to live in tents of wickedness. First reason that I need the Word of God is because without it, I'm dead. Look at verse 18. The second reason that I need the Word of God is that without it, I am blind. I am blind. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous, wonderful things in your law. Friends, when Jesus came and lived upon the earth, boys and girls, one of the wonderful things that he did was to make blind people able to see again. Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. The gospel, remember, in Revelation 3, we read this morning, is salve, medicine for our eyes, so that we can see Christ as he truly is and see wonderful things in the Word of God, in the law of God. The word means wonderful, extraordinary things. This is not someone who's bored when he reads his Bible. He says, God, open my eyes that I can see here in your word wonderful things. We should be praying for eyes to see. John 3:27, John said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. This is why we need to pray to God, open my eyes. Jesus said once, thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. God opens eyes. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:17 is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I need the word of God because without it, I cannot see. I'm blind. I'm blind to Christ. I'm blind to everything that's important. The third reason that I need the word of God in verse 19 is that I am a pilgrim. I'm a traveler. I am a stranger on the earth, the writer says. Do not hide your commands from me. If I'm a traveler, boys and girls, if I'm on a journey, I need to see in order to see where I'm going. Right? Open my eyes that I can see. I'm a traveler on this earth. We're on a journey. If you're trying to get from one place to another with your eyes closed, have you ever tried that in your house? You bump into things, you get hurt. It's a dangerous thing to do. Open my eyes that I can see because I'm a traveler here on this earth. I'm trying to get from earth, from this world, to heaven. I'm a traveler. The Bible tells us in many places, as we considered this morning, that Christians are strangers on the earth. We are temporary inhabitants of this world, as we saw from Luke chapter 2 this morning. Charles Bridges said of the Christian, heaven is our citizenship. Heaven is the country of the Christian's birth, Galatians 4:26. Heaven is where his kindred are, Ephesians 3:15. Heaven is his inheritance, Ephesians 1:14. In heaven is his Savior, John 14:3. In heaven is his hope, Philippians 3:20. In heaven is his home, 2 Corinthians 5. All is there. All is there. But we're not in heaven yet. We're not in heaven yet. We're travelers. And what do travelers need? We need the word. It's a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. Proverbs 6:22 says, when you roam, they will lead you. The commandments of the word of God, the wisdom of God. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak to you. What do travelers need? As one person once said, we need a guide, we need a guard, and we need a companion. You see all those things there in Proverbs 6:22? When you roam, they will lead you, a guide. When you sleep, they will keep you, a guard. And when you awake, they will speak with you, a companion. It's all in God's word, everything that travelers need. I need the word of God because I'm a pilgrim on this earth. But fourthly, I need the word of God because I am brokenhearted. Verse 20, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. Literally, the Hebrew says there, my soul is crushed and broken. My soul is crushed and broken. And really, when it comes right down to it, it's broken because of sin and its effects in me, in my relationships, in my society, in my world. All these things ought to cause us to be brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. Many people are broken up about many things, but not many people are broken up about sin. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus said, and he meant who are mourning about their sin. The brokenness is tied here in this verse to longing for God's judgments, his laws. A longing that says to God that he would make things right in me and in my world. In God's word, we see how things should be and how they can be by His grace. We see the one who is making all things beautiful in His time, the Lord Jesus. Broken-hearted ones, the Bible says, God doesn't despise. That's why I need the word of God when I'm broken-hearted, because I need to read that God doesn't despise the broken-hearted. He gathers them. He builds up Jerusalem. He binds up all their wounds. And He heals the broken-hearted ones. I need to hear that promise in God's word. And the kind of broken heart that God is speaking of here is not just a sporadic longing. Look at what it says. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws. When? At all times. At all times. This is to be the character of our lives. A brokenness before God and a looking to Him and His promises to heal the brokenhearted. At all times. God keep us from a sporadic spirituality. I need the word of God because I'm brokenhearted. Fifthly, I need the word of God because I am prone to be proud. I'm prone to be proud. Look at verse 21. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed, who stray from your commands. I need the word of God because I'm prone to be proud. What an enemy is pride. It's the primordial sin, always crouching at the door, desiring to have us. We are all susceptible to pride, aren't you? Or are you saying right now, not me? Well, you know what the issue is then. We're all susceptible to pride. Adam, created in perfect righteousness, holiness, and knowledge, succumbed to pride. Paul, the great missionary theologian, says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that were given to him, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." The issue there was pride. He knew that he was susceptible to pride, and God was gracious to him to give him something of his life, in his life, to remind him, Paul, don't be proud. Don't be proud. In the Word, I need the Word to tell me that the proud are cursed, which is what we read here in this verse, that God opposes the proud but lifts up the humble. From verse 21, I think we see something very important. Pride is often seen in this. What is it? You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed, who do what? Who stray from your commands. Pride is seen most in disobedience to God. In disobedience to the law of God. Because disobedience to the law of God is really saying to God, even, I know better. I know best. And so I'm going to do this or that. Humility, friends, is obedient. Humility is obedient. Even when we can't see the outcome or the reason why, humility obeys. The proud stray from the narrow way. They think they'll be okay. But in the end, that way, the way that seems right in a man's own eyes, leads to death. I need the word of God because I'm prone to be proud. Sixth, I need the word of God because I am often mocked. Verse 22, remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. The proud that we've met in verse 21 are often not just proud, but they become the enemies of God's people. And we receive mockery as the children of God of all kinds and of every degree as we stand up for Christ in the world. And so to deal properly with scorn and contempt, I need God's word. I need God's word when I enter into the furnace of that kind of trial. When I try to speak for God and I receive scorn and contempt from others because of it, I need the word of God. I need the word of God to stay Christ-focused and to be taught how to be Christ-like. Looking to Jesus, Hebrews 12, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Christ, who left us an example that when he was reviled, did not revile in return. I need the word of God to teach me to be Christ-focused and to be Christ-like when I'm mocked. This verse reminds me from God's word to pray. To pray when I receive scorn and contempt, because that's what this is. It's a prayer. Remove from me scorn and contempt. He's speaking to his God. When we suffer from slander, I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said, when we suffer from slander, it is better to pray about it than to go to law over it or even to demand an apology from the slanderer. Verse 22 is a prayer. I need to remember that because I'm learning it here in God's word. When I'm mocked and I suffer scorn and contempt, I must go to prayer. Must ask the Lord to deal with this for me. And notice that it's a prayer based on obedience. It's a very interesting verse here. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. He's basing this prayer of deliverance from mockers based on his obedience. Now, why is he doing that? Well, his obedience, and this means new obedience, evangelical obedience, is an evidence of his being a child of God. And he knows that God will vindicate his own. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. We must wait for it, but we can pray for it. For God's children. And I also think that what may be at work here is the idea that a clean conscience is key to enabling us to endure shame and contempt in a godly way. Because if our conscience is not clear, how can we be sincere in praying for someone else's wickedness to stop? The wickedness against us, when we don't want to stop our own wickedness. You see? That's hypocrisy. And so a clean conscience is key for us to be able to endure scorn and contempt in a godly way and to make a prayer that God would vindicate us. Remove it from me, for I keep your commandments. Seventh, I need the word of God because I am powerless. Powerless. Though rulers, or some translations, princes, sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Princes, when princes sit, and I think the idea may be here, in judgment, and speak against me. You know, the thought may be, who are we against the mighty of this world? What do we have as our defense? Well, beloved, we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. God may call us, like the apostles and like others, to speak before kings and princes, maybe to speak before politicians or judges. And in order to do that in a God-honoring way, we need to be meditating on God's word and God's decree so that our hearts will be filled. And when we will speak, when the time comes, out of the overflow of our hearts. We are powerless, it seems, but we have the Word of God. Read through again the book of Acts and how those lowly disciples, the apostles, spoke when the time came to judges and rulers and kings because they knew the Word of God. It was hidden in their hearts. And lastly, the eighth reason that I need the Word of God is because I am unhappy and unwise. Verse 24 says, "Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors." You know, to be very honest, which I hope that I will always be when I preach to you, to be very honest, I am more unhappy at times than I know a Christian should be. Why is that? Well, I think at root because I am choosing to delight in other things than the Word of God. Other things are delightful, but only truly delightful when received in a biblical way. Otherwise, it's merely the passing pleasures of sin. How can I delight more and more? Well, I'll look at the connection of this verse. I think that these are not two separate things. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. I am unhappy because I am unwise. I need God's testimony. His revelation is my delight and my men of counsel, literally it says. The more wisdom I have, the more I will delight in God's word and God's ways. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And the more we have God's wisdom, his laws as our counselors, always around us, telling us what to do. You remember, boys and girls, the trouble, wasn't it, that Rehoboam got in when he listened to the wrong counselors. We have the privilege of having the Word of God, the testimony of God as our counselors. The more we get that wisdom into our minds, the more we will delight in the things of God and in what God has given us. And the less our delight will be in things that aren't ultimately delightful anyway, things that will pass away. What a delight it would be to be delighted. Wouldn't it? What a delight it would be every day to be delighted. Richard Baxter says that delighting in God was one of his most repeated themes in his preaching. He says at one point in his huge book, The Saints' Everlasting Rest, that I'm trying to read. I can only read a couple of paragraphs a day because there's so much in it and it's about this thick. He says this, "Be sure to maintain a constant delight in God and a seriousness and spirituality in all his worship. Think it not enough to delight in duties if you delight not in God. Judge not of your duties by their bulk and number, but by their sweetness." He's saying in the Christian life, don't just think that, things are right if I've done a lot. I've done this, 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 and this. He says, judge it not by their bulk and number, but by their sweetness. You are never stable Christians until you reach this. He says, never forget all those sermons that I preached to you on Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Beloved, I need the Word of God. I need the Word of God written and incarnate in Jesus. And by God's grace, that is what the children of God have. Jesus himself prayed, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them." Let us pray.